You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Riley stayed onside. The late man Matthews. Great move. What a goal. Beauty. Austin Matthews.
Matthews flipped it up for Marner. Mitch Marner centering. Hyman to the net. Scores.
He took that down and his jock strap is in the corner.
All right, here we go. Episode 55 of Not Another Leafs Podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network at Ken Stapon, at B McCarthy 95, at Leafs Pod, at Hockey Pod Net. And a reminder that this podcast is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. It's not too late to get in your bets on the lowly Montreal Canadiens, who have been the dogs in every series thus far, as the game one of the Stanley Cup Finals goes tonight. And if you're going to do so, use DraftKings Sportsbook, which is not only my favorite sportsbook, but America's top-rated sportsbook. I love using DraftKings. It's easy to navigate, has plenty of instructions for new bettors, and limitless ways to get in on the action. My friends and families have also been loving DraftKings, and I know you will too. Listen to this great offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in site credits. That's right. Pick any basketball team that's still in contention. Bet $1, and if that team wins, you could win $100 in site credits. Don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook also offers great odds on promotions on baseball, hockey, and so much more all week long. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. It's this simple. Download the top-rated DraftKings app and use promo code THPN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on a basketball team of your choice to win their next game. And if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, and Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Episode 55, BMAC. Who you got as our Leaf representative today?
It's actually 56, Kenny. I'm going to go with Andy Wisniewski.
56.
Stud defenseman, played for the Leafs from 07 to 09, I believe. I'm doing quite well, man. I don't even know if you asked me how I'm doing, but I'm doing quite well.
I'm glad to hear it.
I'm relieved but in pain, probably similar to many of the Canadians and Lightning entering the Cup final, because I spontaneously got my second dose yesterday at Scotiabank Arena, home of the Leafs and Raps. It was tough going there yesterday, but they were holding walk-ins until 9 p.m., so I jumped on it and got it. So I'm ready for the summer, brother.
Attaboy, congratulations. And I would just like to address something at the beginning here. Apologize to the listeners, as we weren't able to record any episodes last week. It's been kind of a hectic schedule for Brendan and myself. I'm currently transitioning out of two jobs, transitioning into a new one. BMAC's schedule has been super hectic in the newsroom over at TSN. So it's not that we aren't trying to continuously bring you two episodes throughout the summer. It's just that last week, the schedules just weren't lining up and we weren't able to do it. So apologies for that. Apologies to the network for not being able to produce that content. But here we are, and game one of the Stanley Cup Finals goes tonight as we are recording this on Monday, June 28th. And like you said, Brendan, the Canadiens continue to hang around. I know in the ad read at the beginning, I kind of called them the lowly underdog Montreal Canadiens. I don't know if lowly is the proper descriptor, but certainly they have been dogs to get to this point in every series, and they found a way to get it done. They eliminated the Vegas Golden Knights, and now they find themselves knocking on the door to win their first Stanley Cup since 1993.
It's an incredible story, man. I mean, for them, it's like, who's next, really? We just knocked off Toronto, division leaders in the Scotia North, swept Winnipeg, supposed to be a lethal team in the postseason, and then we just dumped Vegas. Like, they controlled that entire series. So now it's like, okay, we got Tampa Bay. Sure, it's the Stanley Cup final. The magnitude enhances of the series and the games. But, God, they're rolling, Kenny. Like, they are a dog-determined group. and they're going to have their head coach, Dominic Ducharme, back from COVID protocol, which he was in quarantine for 14 days, I believe. So, I mean, they definitely won that semifinals for him, and I'm sure he's going to be back. I believe he's going to be back for game three, and that's going to be a huge boost for them, but they're just going to keep rolling, man. Like, Tampa's nothing to them if they can knock off three powerhouses.
I think that is a point that deserves a ton of recognition, is that they were able to do it without their guy behind the bench,
yeah,
who's been gone since game three of the Vegas series. I'm sure Montreal fans loved that, as Ducharme and the team traveled down to Vegas, and immediately on their way back, it's like they got guys going into COVID protocol. I believe as well, Yoel Armia might be entering the COVID protocol for the Montreal Canadiens as well. So that's a key piece of their lineup. Looks like they will get Jake Evans back, though, from the concussion that he suffered on the hit from Mark Scheifele in the series against the Winnipeg Jets. So that'll be a big boost for Montreal's lineup, as he's proven to be an effective spark plug for the rest of that team. I've been so impressed. And I feel like we're beating a dead horse at this point, you know, just giving Montreal the credit for their accomplishments, but they haven't turned back or looked back since they were down 3-1 to Toronto. They've handled every opportunity that was presented to them. And they were underdogs in each series, according to Vegas. And each series, basically coming into the series, probably outside of the series against Winnipeg, it's basically been unanimous that the Leafs were going to beat them. It was unanimous that Vegas is going to beat them. And now I'm starting to see, again, in a popular trend of the playoffs, basically everybody's picking Tampa Bay to beat Montreal. This is a team that relishes being the dogs and are in a position that they're extremely comfortable with and aren't afraid of the defending cup champion staring down the barrel on the other end.
And you know what? If you're players, you're probably like, we love that. We feed off
love
that.
It.
Keep saying that. We heard it for Toronto. We heard it for Winnipeg. We heard it for Vegas. Keep saying it to us. We'll relish that underdog mentality. The only minor blip throughout the playoffs that Canadians had was not even on the ice for the players. It was management's fault, is healthy scratching Cole Caulfield. Because to me, that guy has been the most offensive threat and just one of the biggest contributors to the Canadiens lineup during this run. He's been incredible to watch. And I know I pumped his tires on episode 55, but Ken, I don't think there's a more remarkable player, other than dynamic player. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I think he's been the best player for them in this. What does he have? 5-6 goals. He had 4 against Vegas. I mean, he's just been unbelievable to watch. And God, they got him at 15th overall in the draft a few years ago. And what a steal. And if you're Bergevin, you know, going into the playoffs, you know, he was on the hot seat. Who was going to go first? I remember we were having a discussion, like, if they get nixed in the first round, who gets gassed first, Ducharme or Bergevin? Well,
yeah,
Bergevin is going to be repping. He's going to be repping that red burgundy suit that he's worn in all three regulation or elimination games, I should say, because it's clearly, you know, he's superstitious and it brings him good luck. So, and he looks like, you know, an absolute stud with the flow going too. So he's going to be sitting pretty right now, Mark Bergevin, knowing either the outcome, he's got a job and job security for the next couple of years.
Leafs Twitter was buzzing. Well, it has been buzzing about Cole Caulfield. Well, I suppose every corner of NHL Twitter has been buzzing about it.
Yeah.
But big reason why is because Caulfield now, I believe, is one goal shy of the amount of goals that Mitch Marner has scored in his career in the playoffs through his first playoff run.
Ouch.
Which seems absurd, but then you go back and you remember the conversations that we were having during our Leafs eulogy for the season, how Marner hasn't scored in, what was it? It's something like 18 straight playoff games that he's been held without a goal, something to the tune of that.
Yeah.
And Caulfield continues to get it done after being in healthy scratch in the beginning of the series against the Leafs. He's been effective for them. And this has been something that the Montreal Canadiens have been missing for a long time. And it's been the narrative for a long time, is that they don't have that upper tier, upper echelon star power. They don't have those guys that can take over a game. Well, Caulfield, although young in his career, has shown flashes of that ability. And obviously he has the skill set to be able to perform at that kind of composure level at this time of year is extremely, extremely impressive from the young kid. And it looks like Montreal is going to have, if, you know, if Nick Suzuki continues to develop, if Caulfield continues to develop, Kokaniemi has come up with some big goals throughout this postseason run. If these guys can continue to produce at this level at this time of year, that's going to bode very well for the Montreal Canadiens' future.
It's, I just hope they have a full capacity crowd at Bell Center. I mean, just seeing a glimpse of, you know, we know how boisterous that crowd can get and they're relentless on the opposing team, but Ken, they got to have full capacity. I mean, the first two games are in Tampa. You absolutely, like, your move, like, Trudeau.
The government of Quebec has to bend. Well, is it not a provincial thing? I think that's like the Quebec government stipulates it. I feel like,
yeah,
probably. I feel like Habs fans would risk it all to go into an arena filled with, you know, however many people. I don't even know how you would regulate that. Like, do you say you have to have, you know, you have to be fully vaccinated? Do you say that?
Probably,
you
know, yeah.
You have fully vaccinated and you have to be able to prove it at the door, but then it gets into the whole, like, oh, this is a police state conversation. I don't know how you regulate it, but yeah, they're going to have to cram that barn with as many bodies as they can, because this is like the time for messing around is over. This isn't, you're going to be going back to Scotiabank Arena and there's going to be, you know, 300 or 500 medical workers in the stands. This is like, you're going to be playing, you're playing at a lights out barn in Vegas, which also, by the way, so impressive that they were able to go in that barn and steal the series. Cause like, that was something that we highlighted going in.
Yeah.
Vegas has one of the most rabid fan bases in the league. I mean, these guys go there for the party. Some of the best, like, on ice presentations of anybody in the NHL. So not an easy place to go in and win, especially when you aren't used to playing against or playing in barns that have any fans in it. They're able to do that, and they should expect the same going into Tampa Bay, because that, not to use a pun, but that crowd has been absolutely electric for the Lightning as well.
I feel like once you get past, like, as a player, like, the theatrical performance in Vegas, it's like, okay, they're just like a passionate group. But imagine the Habs had to go into Nassau Coliseum. Like, they have to be the most rowdiest, like, unrelentless, mean fan base. Like, hell, they chucked beer cans on the ice when their team won.
Yeah.
Like, what was that? Come on.
No,
what if they lost?
Some of the Islanders fans are...
they're nuts.
Yeah, they're nuts.
They're out, like, of control, man.
I've told you about how I've been to games at the old Nassau Coliseum. Like, they were games that didn't matter, because at that point in time, it was like in the late 2000s, like early 2010s maybe. And we went down there. It was like late in the year. It was Isles Leafs. Nobody was going to the playoffs. So like the barn was empty. And there were season ticket holders there who were sitting like right on the front row of the glass. And they would have like four rings on their fingers, like almost like the size of championship rings. So when they were hammering on the glass, it was just making the loudest like cracking sound in the world.
Oh my God. Imagine getting crunched into the boards and hearing that. It's like, oh.
Yeah, just right in your ear. It's brutal. Anyways, yeah, it's a totally rabid fan base down there. And like a historic arena, obviously. It would have been nice for the Islanders to have been able to play there a couple more times in the Stanley Cup final. But ultimately, it's Tampa Bay who, again, have shown the ability to adjust and play whatever way their opponent wants to play. This is a team that can play a physical game. This is a team that can outscore you, as we saw when they blew out the Islanders, what was it, 8-0?
8-0. Like,
yeah, they can
touchdown,
put the puck in the back of the net. Touchdown, 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
Like, how often do you see that?
Yeah. And then, I thought they're going to go for 10 that game. They just did nonstop. But,
and then they're also able to shut it down, though. In game 7, yeah, it's you know, Vasilevsky.
1-0.
And it's 1-0.
Yeah.
And now they're getting Kucherov back, like, likely as healthy as we've seen him in quite some time for the Stanley Cup final. And that'll be a beast in itself, trying to contain that power play and that offense with Kucherov running it. Stamkos, who hasn't even been making a ton of noise through the postseason run, but I was listening to his interview on TSN talking about how he's just relishing the opportunity to actually play this year. As last year, although they won the cup, and you know, you can sort of chuck that off your bucket list regardless. What'd he play? 2 minutes?
2 minutes. Run? Yeah, 2 minutes last year and then got that snipe.
Yeah, and you got one goal in 2 minutes, but like, you want to be a part of this. So for Stamkos this is going to be, again, it's basically like his first opportunity to win a Stanley Cup again, even though he's actually won it, to actually contribute and be there and be in the lineup and be on the bench and be fighting towards it with your teammates and the guys you've worked with all year towards to get to this point. And I don't know. I can't even predict what's going to happen, because I feel like, although my gut says Tampa's going to handle them, my gut has said that everybody was going to handle Montreal the whole way. It was like, or, you know, Toronto in five. Nope. Then it's like, well, Winnipeg, I wasn't as sure about. And then when Scheifele went down, that was kind of a foregone conclusion. But I figured that Winnipeg should still beat Montreal. Was wrong about that. Figured Vegas would surely beat Montreal because they were the most difficult competition that Montreal faced that poor in the competition. And then the Habs obviously handle them in six. So now they're heading into the cup finals, dogs again. And I'm like, I don't know what the hell is going to happen. Carey Price has been outstanding. I believe he has like a 936 save percentage, one shutout, like just over a 2.0 goals against average through this postseason run. The only goaltender who's really been better than him is on the other side, Andre Vasilevsky. And we know how good he's been nominated for the Vezina Trophy, I think the last four seasons in a row, winning it, what, in 2019? So he's not that far removed. This guy is Mr. Consistency. He's massive in the net, plays with calmness, plays with composure. It has to be a wash for the two goaltenders, and either of those guys capable of stealing a game on any given night.
And if you're Montreal too, it's the same recipe. Okay, go out, get two goals, maybe three goals. Like max, the Habs are going to score three goals, and they know they got Price to back them up, right? Like he's been able to shut down top guns, top teams in the last three rounds, and they're not going to change much. This team is not phased, man. Like watching, I haven't been able to watch every single game, but just watching them even for like a period, like the confidence for Montreal just keeps growing and growing. And, you know, it's Price versus Vasilevsky, but Price has definitely got more confidence right now. And he is the backbone to the Canadiens. So I don't think they're going to change much. Maybe obviously tweak the odd line change because it's obviously the Stanley Cup final, but that's what they've been doing all playoffs, man. Score two, three, like garbage goals, not pretty, and then rely on Carey Price to back you up and make 25, 30 plus saves.
I do disagree with you that I think that Price has more confidence than Vasilevsky. I'd say the two are equally confident. When you hear Vasilevsky talk and when you hear the Tampa Bay Lightning talk about the confidence that they have in their netminder, it's unshakable. They know that he's the rock, but they know that there's an equivalent netminder on the other end. And there's a mutual respect between the two. I think that both are extremely confident in the way they've been playing. They're confident in the way that their teams have been playing. And both are up to the task, having played on these sorts of stages before and understanding what's at stake here for their representative groups. It's going to be an outstanding series, something that I can't wait to watch. And I will say, as a hockey fan, it's hard not to pull for Montreal in this series. If you look at some of the vets on their team who have never won a cup, led by the guy that we've been talking about this whole time, Carey Price, Shea Weber on that blue line. I would love to see that guy be able to hoist a cup. Like, would love to see him be able to hoist a cup. So as a true hockey fan, it's hard not to pull for the Canadiens, because I'm looking at this incredible run and it makes me believe that anybody can win. Anybody can win on any given year. It doesn't matter where you finish in the standings. It doesn't matter what seed you're seeking into, akin to those LA Kings teams back in the day who came in as the 8 seed and then went to win the cup. This is a reminder that in the Stanley Cup playoffs, if you play the right kind of hockey, it's anybody's opportunity. And that's why I'm torn, because I look at this, I'm like, Montreal, this is an incredible run by Montreal as the underdogs through the whole way. And as a hockey fan, it's hard not to be enthralled by that group in the story. But as a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, it's hard not to look at it and say, you know, this is what could have been. And I know they play a different style than Montreal, so there's no guarantees that they would have got past Winnipeg or got past Vegas or any of those opportunities at hand. But it's difficult not to look at this and say, you know, Toronto missed out on a massive opportunity and it could be them in the cup finals. Having said that, as a hockey fan, I'm rooting for Montreal. As a Leafs fan, I can't possibly root for Montreal, so I have to root for Tampa Bay. So I got two irons in the fire. If I was betting, I'd probably throw some shillings down on DraftKings Sportsbook on the Montreal Canadiens, because if you've been betting on them the whole way, you could probably refinance your house, pay off the mortgage, based off your winnings, because they've been total dogs and have been paying the bills for a lot of friends of mine through this whole run.
I think the Stanley Cup Finals going the distance for sure.
Seven?
It's seven games, absolutely.
Give the advantage to the home team in seven?
I'm going to give the advantage on the spot. I'll give the advantage to the TB Lightning. But it's going seven. Montreal is going to drive them absolutely nuts. And I can't wait. I'm just going to objectively watch this series. I'm not pulling for Montreal. Like, we're avid Leaf fans. It's clear. We host a goddamn Leafs podcast. And I like Tampa Bay. Like, I just think, obviously, like, what's not to like? I mean, obviously they're going back to back, and it's going to be a thrilling series. And it's obviously, you know, for guys working in sports media, this is great. Sorry to say, but the Islanders, like, great gritty group, but you're not that fun to you know, talk about in the Cup Final, let's be honest. So this is two juicy teams, a juicy matchup, and it's an ideal Stanley Cup Final. It's going to be great. How about Pat Maroon going for a three-peat himself?
Yeah,
you don't like that one? We haven't talked about Big Rig for a while.
Pat Maroon makes it to the Cup Final seemingly every year at this point.
And he's in the passenger seat. He's just riding along.
Yeah, and it's hilarious because everybody rips on him for, you know, like, being a little bit more of a husky guy. But he plays an effective style. And obviously his leadership is valuable in the room. And whether it was with the St. Louis Blues or the last 2 years with the Tampa Bay Lightning, again, and hats off to Julien Brisebois, who was able to make the moves that have been able to push this team over the top. Stevie Y obviously assembled that group and deserves a ton of credit for, especially for the contract negotiations with some of the star players to keep that down so they could get the equatable depth pieces to make this team effective. But Brisebois ultimately made the finishing touches on what has been now a Stanley Cup contender and Stanley Cup winner, not just last season, but this season as well. So very impressive for Pat Maroon to make three straight, and impressive for Julien Brisebois, to the GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning, to be able to make the right moves at the right time of year. Let's go to around the expansion draft. So we're doing things in opposite order, seeing as the Cup Final seems to be the lead. But we did want to get into some Leafs coverage, and basically the big topic of conversation right now is what's going to happen with the expansion draft for this Toronto Maple Leafs team, and which players are going to be made up to be available to the Seattle Kraken, who, by the way, we should mention, also hired Dave Hakstol, former Maple Leafs assistant coach and former head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, as the first head coach in their history. So congratulations to Dave. Obviously, his contributions, especially on the defensive efforts in Toronto, are going to be missed, but a great opportunity for him working with a fresh group, working with an established name in the league in Ron Francis. And he'll look to try to duplicate, or at least maybe even have a quarter of the success that the last expansion team, the Vegas Golden Knights, have had since their entrance into the league.
So obviously for the next 2 weeks, the focus is going to be on the Cup Final, but immediately afterwards, Kenny, there's like a week of just like chaos. Like, just to throw a few dates out, July 17th is the deadline for NHL teams to submit expansion draft protection lists. July 21st, a few days later, is the actual expansion draft. A few days after that, it's the league draft, and then free agent frenzy at the end of July, probably July 28th. Now, these dates are subject to change, and I know a lot of people are confused of how the expansion draft works. So basically, Seattle must select one player from each presently existing club except Vegas, and the clubs have two options. This is where it gets interesting for the Leafs. You can either protect seven forwards, three defensemen, and a goalie, or eight skaters and a goalie. Now, I don't know about you, but I like the latter. Here's why. Because the Leafs want to protect their top four, right? Tavares, Nylander, Matthews, Marner. And because of how well Justin Hall played this year, I think you want to protect your top four defensemen, including Justin Hall, instead of going the seven forwards, 3D, and a goalie, and then they're probably going to protect Campbell, right? So I think the eight skaters and a goalie probably works best for the Leafs, but you might think differently.
No, I certainly transcribe to your theory. I don't think that there are seven forwards on the Leafs that they need to protect. No. I think basically what it comes down to is the top four. Tavares, you have to protect.
Yeah.
Because he has the no movement clause. So unless he decides to waive that for some reason, which I think even if he were, which this is not, this is going to happen. So I don't even know why I'm discussing it. But even if he were to waive it, like that would be a contract that Seattle would probably not even really necessarily want to pick up at this point. So they have to protect Tavares because of the no movement. Matthews, obviously not exposing the Rocket Richard winner. Marner, despite the fact that the fan base hates him right now, he's still one of the top, you know, two offensive threats on this team. The fourth is obviously going to be William Nylander. I don't think that really anybody would argue too much about that. And then you look at the defenseman. Morgan Riley, obviously going to be protected, the top offensive producer on the blue line. Jake Muzzin, the best two-way defenseman on this team, or the best defensive defenseman, certainly at least. His offensive production is what it is, but him and Justin Hall, his D partner, have proven to be an effective second pairing, which is why I also believe, to your theory, that Justin Hall will also be protected. Then the fourth guy, TJ Brodie. So you basically protect your top four forwards and then your top four D. So basically, and then the goaltender would be Jack Campbell. He's the only guy that's under contract right now.
Yeah,
if you were going to expose, I expect that they'll probably sign maybe Hutchinson, or if they might have already done that, actually, if memory serves me correctly. But I think you have to expose a goaltender, so they'll probably just re-sign like a depth guy to put up as the guy who has to be exposed. Anderson is not re-signing. He's going to be on his way out. His contract's up anyway, so he couldn't be exposed. So basically that leaves a number of players that could be selected. And we should mention that players that are exempt from selection due to their contract status and how young they are in the league, Sandin, Robertson, Mikheyev, and Liljegren all do not need to be protected because they are under the amount of NHL games played to be selected. So a little bit fortunate that some of those prospects don't need to get burned. When you look at guys that could be selected, but maybe not necessarily. Hyman is at the forefront of that list. Technically could be selected by the Kraken, but with his contract status, they'd be selecting a UFA. So basically, if he chose not to sign with Seattle, then he could just walk away from the team once a free agency hits. So that wouldn't really be a prudent decision for Ron Francis at this point. I wouldn't expect Hyman to sign before the expansion draft anyways, if he was going to re-sign Toronto, because they kind of want to not have to worry about protecting him. He would surely get selected if they signed a contract before the expansion draft. I do believe that Spezza now, since he re-signed prior to the draft, could be exposed. So that could be a potential target for Seattle. Although, if you recall, as we were discussing earlier in the season, when he went through waivers, he declared that if any other team picked him up off waivers, he would simply just retire. So assuming that he's
that's not happening.
No. So assuming he's going to keep that mentality, then Seattle would basically just be picking a guy who'd be hanging up the skates. So I don't think that would make a terrible amount of sense for him. There's a ton of other older free agents that are going to be on the block or haven't been signed. Thornton, obviously Foligno, who I expect will re-sign with Columbus to reassume the C there. Wayne Simmonds, Alex Galchenyuk, Sabarin, Augustino, Bogosian. There's a huge long list, but basically what it comes down to is there's three guys, or two guys at least, that I think are likely would be selected. One guy maybe is like the dark horse. I think Kerfoot's up, Dermott's up, and then as kind of if the Seattle scouts like him a lot, perhaps Pierre Engvall could be a guy that they select.
That's another good one.
Basically it comes down to those three players. Where do you stand on which one you would select if you were the GM, Ron Francis? Sorry about the soliloquy there. So I feel like I was talking for 2 minutes.
Dermott and Kerfoot, I'm with you. I actually wasn't thinking Pierre Engvall. I had Dermott, Kerfoot, and Mikheyev, but then I realized, wait, he was out for a significant portion of the 1920 season, right? So I guess he hasn't played the fixed number of games.
He's still exempt, yeah.
Okay, well, that's good because, I mean, as you call him a runaway train, he could still be a good depth forward next year, but Kerfoot and Dermott for sure. And then they have to expose a goalie too. So I guess they could just
that'll be just like a sign Rittich or sign Hutchinson and just put him up. 1 year deal, same sort of deal, 700K, whatever.
One thing on Foligno though, I know you think he might go back to Columbus and assume the C. I think they're gonna try and do everything to try and keep him here. I don't think he had like a long enough stint, and he was injured. Clearly he was injured in the playoffs. And I think, you know, Freddie's gonna walk, Hyman's gonna come off the books, that frees up 7-8 mil. I think they're gonna try and sign this guy to a short term deal. You know, you lose Hyman, you lose that grit in the top six. I think it would be in their best interest to try and sign Foligno. I really, really do.
Yeah, well, I agree with you that it would be in the best interest for the team. Where I disagree with you is that it's going to be possible with their cap situation unless they start moving some money out. Basically, what Foligno was commanding this year prior to, you know, them pulling, you know, the salary cap gymnastics with, you know, sending the extra third round pick that they sent out to where was it, San Jose, for them to eat half the salary. This guy was basically making $5.5 million. So if you're assuming that he's a little bit longer in the tooth in his career at this point, I believe he's 33 right now. So if you're looking at him at 33 years old and saying, all right, he probably won't get $5.5 million. What would the term be that you'd be comfortable with for a player like this? Maybe 3 years. Is that fair to say?
And yeah, even two. I feel like he'd do it.
I know, but I'm assuming that I'm suggesting is that I think that he likes it a lot in Columbus. His family is entrenched in Columbus without going into too many details. I do believe that his intention the whole time has been to go back there. He's a big fan of the organization. Like, he's got a great relationship with the general manager, Jarmo Kekäläinen. I believe that they have a little bit more financial incentive to be able to send Foligno's way to come and be their captain and probably give him a little bit more term with a little bit more comfortability. Whereas the Leafs in their cap situation really have to hit on all their veteran signings. I'm not saying that Foligno wouldn't be able to contribute right now. I certainly believe they would. I'm just not sure that they're going to be able to match what would be ultimately a more attractive offer from the Columbus Blue Jackets to bring back their captain, as this was basically just Jarmo trying to acquire as much draft capital as he could for a player who was going to be an expiring free agent anyways.
Well, I get the personal ties and the familiarity and everything, but what's the incentive if you're Nick Foligno to go back to Columbus? They just got rid of Torts. You know, their number one defenseman.
Maybe he hates Torts.
The number one defenseman doesn't want to be on the team. Like, it's a complete crapshoot. Like, it's not like, okay, you know what? They're on the up and up. Like, Toronto at least is on the up and up. Like, yeah, they're a contending team.
Realistically though, how much would Foligno cost? Like $4 million by three?
Yeah, probably. Three and a half, four.
So, yeah, basically the question is then, do you think that Foligno is going to be able to give you $4 million worth of contribution over the next three seasons? Because this is the difficult situation that Toronto's in right now, is that they have to hit on every single signing because they don't have enough, you know, salary cap flexibility with the flat cap due to the pandemic to be able to be messing around on guys that could work out or couldn't work out. Nothing against Foligno, but we've talked about the way he plays the game. These are hard miles he's put on his body through his whole career. Like, basically since for the last 10 years, he's been running around, banging, crashing bodies, dropping the gloves, even longer than that. It's been 13 years. His first season was 07-08. So at some points, you know, that sort of style of play catches up with you. And we've seen it with vets. Like, you look at Wayne Simmonds. Like, he wasn't really that effective in the postseason run for Toronto. And it's a similar style of play, right? So that would be my only reservation. I agree that obviously his leadership qualities, his toughness, his grit, like all those things that we talk about all the time would definitely be contributing factors to the Maple Leafs wanting to bring this guy back. I'm just not certain that it's going to be in the cards for this team at this point in time to be able to re-sign him. But it remains to be seen. There's a lot that can happen before and after the expansion draft and after the NHL draft.
Yeah, well, I'll stick to it. It's imperative. You're losing Hyman. You're losing Simmonds. Obviously, there's going to be some cap gymnastics involved, but they're going to be able to do it. I really think they are. They're going to be able to fit him under. And you know what? You take that risk. Everyone was like, wow, like Tavares is like long-term, and that AAV is going to be in his late 30s when this is done. You know, Tavares in the next 2 years could completely fall flat, but that's the risk you take, right? So I think it's important because, like, if you don't, I mean, you're just you're losing that physical element. I mean, Hyman was really the backbone in that regard. So, I mean, yeah, it does remain to be seen. But I think, you know, it's an interesting topic because we didn't really get a good enough glimpse. And playing through that injury, and I think with a full off season, he would welcome almost similar to a maybe not obviously not league minimum, but it would be a similar. Would be like, look, we can fit you under. It's going to have to be a 2 to 3 years, and it's going to probably have to be $3 to $4 million, and that's all we can give you. And I think he'd chomp at it. So we'll see. It's going to be an exciting month, man. There's lots of crap going on. So
yeah, and not to lose the plot completely, but. Because we did start this conversation talking about expansion. If I'm Vegas, like basically all it comes down to is what you value. Do you value defensemen or do you value forward depth? Because Kerfoot's proven that he can be a sustainable third line center or top six winger if need be. He can move up and down the lineup. Where Dermott right now, you know, he's basically a third pairing defenseman with maybe upsides to push into a second pairing role with the right partner who's going to be a little bit more defensively responsible. He hasn't really had the opportunity to move into that role in Toronto at many points, if they did have him in a top four role, that was bad news for the team because that means that the depth was seriously, seriously depleted in front of him. But it'll be interesting to see which one of those two players, because although Engvall, I think, is like probably, you know, the second tier player that would be selected, I think it basically comes down to one of those two guys. And also, if Kerfoot gets selected, that frees up another $3.5 million.
Yeah,
off the books. Like it's a that would be a little bit of a chunk of change that the management could play with to try to make the tweaks that they need to make to this roster.
All right, man, that's enough expansion draft talk. Let's enjoy the Cup final.
Hey, have you been watching any of the Euro at all?
A little bit, but I've mainly been on the tennis grind, and Wimbledon starts this week, but fill me in. Yeah. Portugal just got eliminated, right?
Yeah. That was that was the one we were watching yesterday at our household. My roommate, Patrick, avid Portuguese fan. He is Portuguese, so he's an avid Portugal soccer fan, and he was very disappointed by the loss to Belgium. Yeah, he wants the coach fired. It was a heartbreaker for them. They had a couple of good opportunities late to tie it up. One ended up ringing off the posts, a couple headers into the box that were ultimately handled pretty easily by the Belgium keeper. And I feel like Belgium is one of those teams that they're always like, I think they're the number one team in the world, like statistically, but they haven't really performed that way to this point in the tournament. So it'll be interesting to see if they can meet the expectations. The Italian side looks outstanding. Like, I believe I can't remember how long they haven't conceded in, but that's a traditional Italian soccer. Just park the bus, don't give up a goal, and make the other team pay on the counterattack. And they've been able to do that to this point in the tournament. Where in the Netherlands, like, my goodness, they take a red card against the Czech Republic, I guess. And they ultimately end up losing 2-0 to an inferior Czech team. So, like, the storylines are just pretty consistent with what we've seen in past years, but oh man, like for the Dutch, that's just a brutal, brutal exit from the round of 16.
Is Belgium still brewing?
Yeah. Belgium. Yeah. They're the number one team. Yeah. They were the ones that knocked off Portugal.
Okay. Ugh, Jesus. Clearly I've been so out of sync with it.
You were out of sync. I was legit just talking. You haven't done this in a while.
I was talking about
how Belgium's been an excellent, is the number one team in the world.
Sorry. I'm phased, man.
And how they knocked off Portugal yesterday.
I will be dialed in the rest of the way. If I have a chance to watch it, that is. Jeez.
Yeah.
I'm so busy. It's been busy for both of us, but we're going to do our best to get episodes out weekly for you avid fanatic hockey fans.
Hey, it's all good, man. I'll be transitioning into a job that should be a little bit less hours for me, so I won't be doing the 4 a.m. like lockups anymore, which should be good. Looking forward to transitioning back to a more normal schedule. And then also, I'm freed up my Saturday mornings due to the late hours at my bar. I've also had to transition out of the radio show that I've been doing early Saturday morning, so that should contribute to a couple extra hours of sleep for me. So
that's good,
big,
buddy.
Some big life changes, but hopefully it will give us free up some more time so we can create more content on a consistent basis, because it's been difficult of late, and certainly moving up to the expansion draft and the NHL draft, there'll be no shortage of conversation points.
Yep, absolutely, man.
Thanks for listening to episode 56 of Leafs Pod 56. On the Hockey Podcast Network. Remember to throw us a follow on Twitter at Ken Sapon, at B McCarthy95, at Leafs Pod, and at Hockey Pod Net. We'll catch you next time.